Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here! Beautiful goal!
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 20th of March. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on this week's show, we talk to Wales midfielder Aaron Ramsey about his 2012 Team GB Olympic experience. We remember our former club captain in this week's history lesson. Adrian Clarke is back for another dose of the chalkboard. We kick off with a look back at the weekend's action with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Joining us now on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast, I'm delighted to say, is the Times chief football reporter, Henry Winter. To discuss, Henry, I guess a pretty devastating defeat for Arsenal at the Hawthorns, and just wondering from here what the team can do to try and halt this rather alarming form.
Well, that's right. I mean, if you look at the positives, the support, the vocal support from the fans, I mean, you know, it's a neutral who travels all over covering teams, Arsenal fans. You know, they trek up and down the motorway. They turn up in their numbers. They back the team implicitly, unconditionally, and I think that's important. So that's a positive. The fact that they're still showing up. Obviously, there were issues at marking, but you know, other teams have gone to West Brom and had problems there. I mean, a slight surprise when you look at the type of marking that there's been at Arsenal down the years, and you know, I'm old enough to go back to the sort of the Frank McClintock era. And the defenders they had there, people who take, you know, charge and responsibility. And maybe there's just a little bit of lack of confidence as well as organisation and defence at the moment. And maybe a better check, and they're sort of, they just work sort of more strongly together, and they build that partnership. Then you can combat the threat of a team like West Brom, because you know what West Brom are going to do in terms of, you know, the runs that McCauley's going to make and Dawson as well. So it's a question of just being sort of a bit stronger and firmer against that threat. I think when Giroud plays, I think obviously he gives you that aerial threat in the opposition box as well as being able to take the ball to his feet, but also he gives you a defensive presence as well at corners. So I think maybe if he'd come on a bit early and provided a bit more resilience in defence, Arsenal could have done with that.
Yeah, and of course, Giroud scored that iconic goal against the Baggies on Boxing Day with a typical header when the mood in the club was very different and there was a real feeling of momentum. Henry, you mentioned Peter Cech briefly there. He, Alexis, Mesut Ozil, there are some injury concerns. We don't know full details. International break to come, but maybe therefore coming at a good time.
Well, absolutely. You know, the international break does come at a good time, and although touchwood, none of the players returned from internationals injured. I mean, it's such a frustrating thing. You know, as a journalist, you go away and you cover the teams and international teams, and it's a change of gear, and it's, you know, there's a certain sort of excitement and a buzz around it. Certainly changes. But for a manager waiting at home like sort of Arsene Wenger or any club manager, they must be hiding behind their sofa at times or turning their phone off, just dreading. So the, you know, the injuries that can happen to their players on international duty. So that's frustrating. But then the players that he's got, he wants, they can either you know, get their fitness back, get their sharpness back, and they need that with Ozil. I don't know whether Ozil is going to report for duty. I mean, Arsenal got a very good medical department. They need to liaise with the German medical department about that. And I think if there's any hint of doubt, particularly if the first game's a friendly against England. In Dortmund, I'm heading off to that one. You know, I think nice. they should rest him. You have to be fair to players at this stage of the season, particularly players who play in the Premier League, because we don't have a winter break. So Ozil will be going back and competing in training with players who have had a winter break, That's an issue. But look, that's something the manager has quite rightly been talking about for the last sort of 15, 20 years. And I know he and Sven-Göran Eriksson had a meeting in the Landmark Hotel, and they got Ferguson and all the other managers at the time to agree to a winter break. But unfortunately, the clubs themselves wouldn't go through with it. So I've certainly got sympathy with Wenger on the lack of a winter break and the pressures that it puts on players at this stage of the season in England.
Henry, let's just briefly hear from one of the players who will, as you say, be hoping to really make a sustained impact in the coming weeks and make the most of their opportunities. That's Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who spoke to us on the back of that 3-1 defeat to West Brom at the Hawthorns.
Alex, commiserations. A tough afternoon in the end for all your possession. How frustrating to come away with nothing.
We're very disappointed. Obviously, first half, I thought we were very comfortable for us, and we just needed to be careful of them on the counter-attack and obviously the set plays. Obviously, they scored from the set play, but we responded quite quickly, and then for the rest of the half, I think we controlled it, and it sort of felt like it was a matter of time before we broke them down. And then I think second half they came out with a different attitude, and they pressed us higher and made it a lot harder for us. And then obviously the second goal was disappointing, and I can't really remember what happened, but it was a bit scrappy. And then again we've let ourselves down on the set piece, and you know, West Brom made it really tough and defended really well from then on out, and ultimately it's a really disappointing day for us.
As you've implied, the set pieces today were key. What should you have done better as a team?
Headed the ball away. You know, when you want to defend set plays, you've got to be first on the ball. And obviously, for the two goals, we didn't do that. We knew who their danger men were, and we failed to stop them, which is really disappointing. I guess, obviously, we'll look at that and we'll have to review what went wrong. I can't obviously remember too well, but Dawson's got the run, and he's attacked the ball really well for both the goals, and he's finished them off, which... it's really disappointing because we knew we had to be careful of him. You know, set play is a massive part of the game, and Tony Pulis's sides do it better than anyone. And, you know, we knew that, and we failed to deal with it today.
In terms of what you're trying to achieve in the league, which is top four, how big a setback is this result, do you feel?
It's not what we needed, definitely. We knew we needed 3 points, and we need as many 3 points as we can get, and especially in these games. So we're bitterly disappointed, and you know, all I can say is we're sorry to the fans, because that's not acceptable for Arsenal Football Club to lose the way we did today. And we've just got to try and get over this now and focus, and we've got to keep fighting, because it's not been pretty for us recently, and I'm sure it's not going to get any easier anytime soon. So we've just got to try and fight our way out of this.
So the Ox speaking as positively as he can there, Henry, given the situation. And I guess one of the big questions now is this fight for top four and the fight to maybe at least win a third FA Cup in 4 years?
Well, you know, they're obviously at Wembley in the Cup. And if they do get to the Cup final, and if they do win the Cup and they finish fourth, in a way, some people might say that's almost a sort of typical Arsenal season. But just on the Ox, you know, huge credit to him for coming out and talking, you know, in a difficult time for the club and for the team and for the manager. I always admire players, and as a journalist, you always remember which players actually will come out and stand up for the team and will talk to us.
Absolutely.
So fair play to him. And actually, I've been quite impressed with the Ox when he's played in central midfield. I like him there. I mean, I remember it was at the great Milan game about sort of three, four, might even be longer than that, years ago, when I thought he was terrific in central midfield. Remember, he had one game against one of Guardiola's teams, against Barcelona, and Guardiola always, I think after the match, he spoke very highly of Oxlade-Chamberlain. Obviously, I've seen him with England, the goal in Maracanã. There's a terrific player there, and at times like this, when a club is, you know, is under a lot of criticism, and rightly so, you need individuals to stand up and be counted. And Oxlade-Chamberlain, by coming out and talking, but also the key thing he's got to do more and more, which he seems to have the appetite to do this season, is to take responsibility on the pitch. Because there's a fantastic player in there. There is a player there who should be starting week in, week out, for his club and for his country, because he has the ability. He's got the pace. He's got the athleticism. He's got the balance. You know, he's got the technical skills. He's also a lovely guy. I mean, some people might say he's actually too nice and has he got that edge. But I think he's actually shown that a little bit more this season, that he has got that sort of competitive edge. And Arsenal really need that. They need fighters.
And of course, as we know, the boss, Arsene Wenger, has now clarified after that West Brom game that he's made a decision on his future, and it will be clarified soon. So at least uncertainty around the club and uncertainty surrounding the players and the future will be decided one way or the other.
Yeah, I think the history of football in these situations shows that it's better to clarify earlier, so that everyone can everyone knows where they stand. And you know, if it looks like he's staying, but if he's going, then I think if he does announce that now, then I don't think it'll be like when Ferguson announced he was going and Manchester United's season's trailed off. I think if the manager Arsene Wenger announced that he was going, then I just think the atmosphere would change, everyone would back him, and it would almost be, I don't know if celebration's quite the right word, but just a sort of marking of this extraordinary career and the impact he's had on Arsenal Football Club. Greatest manager in their history, no shadow of doubt. You know, you can go back to Chapman, you can go back to George Graham, all the great managers. Arsene Wenger is the one who fully deserves the statue. I mean, I was lucky to be there when he arrived, and David Dean invited about 10 of us into the boardroom at Highbury and sat us down and said, listen, there have been a few doubts about, you know, you lot, the English media, don't know who this man is. And I just sit down, and in classic Arsenal style, it was, you know, very nice tea, and sat down, and Wenger sat at the head of that, the famous boardroom table and the chair with the five legs, and he spoke, and it was just silent. And we were all, we knew about him through his, you know, through Japan and through France, but actually listening to him, and you realised, I remember walking out the room thinking and talking to the other journalists, this is a visionary. And, you know, the impact that he had with the double season, the impact on and off the pitch as well, how he extended the careers of Tony Adams and, you know, the defenders and then the Invincibles and all that, what he has done. So I think if he announced, that could all be celebrated. What a fantastic career, and it might sort of galvanise the team. I think if he announced that, even if he announced that he's staying, at least everyone knows where he stands. So, you know, you don't have to have any more plain protests. The fans know exactly the situation, and then they can, I imagine the majority of them would say, right, he is staying for another 2 years. This is our club. We love this club through hell and high water. Let's just back the club. It's the uncertainty which fans don't like. And after all, I'm a journalist who just goes there on match day. Wenger is a great manager, but he will come and go. The owners will come and go. It's the fans. It belongs to them. It's belonged to them for the last 130, 140 years. So they're the ones who are owed the explanation. So I hope Wenger does come with the board and make his announcement, but I would be surprised if he's leaving.
Henry, it's fascinating stuff, and thanks so much for your insight on that and everything else that's surrounding the club at the moment. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
My pleasure.
Now back to form and fitness after a few niggles. It's brilliant to see Arsenal's Aaron Ramsey a key part of the Gunners' midfield again. The Welsh international has been talking to Arsenal.com about representing Team GB at the 2012 Olympic Games.
Aaron, welcome to the podcast. We're on international break this week, so we're going to talk about an experience you had 5 years ago at the Olympics. First things first, do you remember how the call-up went? Do you remember when you got the call?
Yeah, I think Stuart Pearce, you know, made the call, but yeah, I was excited. I wanted to experience that, and I'm glad that it happened. And it ended disappointingly for us, but it was a great experience to be there.
Did you get a sense of history, like you were making history, first great British team to take part in a while?
Yeah, there was an element of that as well, but I just wanted to go there and experience that sort of, you know, tournament format, and with Wales, I hadn't experienced that previously. If anything, I think that helped me, and helped me for the Euros as well.
Did you ever kind of consider not going? Was there ever a question mark that you might not take part?
No, when I got the phone call, you know, I was excited to be there and wanted to take part and be involved in it. So no, it was never an issue about me taking part. It was more an issue if it was ever gonna take place. But thankfully, it did.
When the squad first got together, obviously players who have never played together, what was that kind of first couple of training sessions like?
Yeah, it was a bit weird, but no, it was a good group of lads and quickly settled together and yeah, so it was a good group which got along pretty easily, so that made it a lot more easier. Yeah.
You said you stayed in the Olympic Village a couple of times. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was. We stayed there, I think, one or two nights, but we were in hotels for the rest of the time. But yeah, it was an amazing experience. You know, everybody eats in this massive canteen together, and you know, you talk to the different athletes there, and just ask them about how they're sort of, you know, how they're planning to go and compete at their event. And yeah, it was nice to see, you know, that they were all together behind each other and supporting each other to try and get the medals tally up for Great Britain.
And so other athletes that you met, other nations as well, who kind of stood out for you? Do you remember anyone in particular?
No, not really. It was, you know, we just sort of, we were only there for a couple of days, so we only met a few of these people competing in different events. But but yeah, it was just nice that everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Got along so easily.
The opening ceremony, were you there for that?
Yeah.
What was that? I mean, everyone saw it on TV, was it?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was packed. We were just walking along behind all the athletes there, and yeah, to go in there and experience that was amazing. And you know, I've got so many videos on my phone from it, and it'd just be something that will be with me.
Cool. Ryan Giggs played in the team as well. Obviously, that's something you probably never thought would happen in your career early on. How was that playing alongside him?
Yeah, of course, he was. You know, a national hero in Wales, and a lot of, you know, young boys growing up wanted to be him or be like him. So, yeah, it was nice for me to experience that. You know, I didn't get to do that with Wales, but it was nice for me to do that with Great Britain. And, you know, it was, and he made it easier to settle in as well with his experience and his knowledge. So yeah, that was good. And also Craig Bellamy.
Actually, yeah, next question was about Craig Bellamy as well. I bet you've got a few stories about him in the being in and around a squad with him.
Yeah, but I won't tell you any of them. No, Craig Bellamy has been brilliant to me. You know, he's a friend and somebody that I respect so much and who has done a lot in their career. And yeah, so I got on great with Craig, and you know, to have him there as well was brilliant. You know, someone to go to, someone just sort of showing the way. You know, he's so professional and dedicated. So it was nice to have someone like him for the rest of us younger boys to sort of look up to.
And the tournament itself, you got a goal. What was that like? So like you can say now you've scored at an Olympic game.
Yeah, that was really nice for me to achieve that. And yeah, I'm just thankful that I had the opportunity to play in the tournament, and to score a goal was nice as well. You can see how much with Brazil, I think, who won it in the last Olympics, you know, how much it means for them to go there and compete and to try and win it. And it was no different for us. You know, we really wanted to go there and try and get a medal for the team.
Obviously, there wasn't a Great Britain team in the last Olympics. Do you think it's something they'll consider bringing back in future games?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what the issues are with it. But as players, yeah, I think we got along pretty well. And, you know, we were trying to achieve something as a team and try and help Great Britain. But yeah, so it was a great experience, and maybe one day I'll come back.
And final one now. So if you could just remember one moment from the games or like the actual 3 weeks, what would that be?
The opening ceremony was one of the standouts for me. Yeah, it was just amazing to experience that and to be a part of that. And yeah, you've seen the scenes on the TV that, you know, that were going on. It was just incredible.
Aaron, thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you.
And it's Adams put through by Bold. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now. Thomas, right at the end.
On the 26th of March 1982, Mikel Arteta was born in San Sebastian in Spain. Mikel made his name at Rangers and then at Everton before joining Arsenal in August 2011. It is one of the midfielder's most memorable goals from the Gunners' 1-0 victory against Manchester City in the year 2012.
Well won, Arteta. Won't fancy a dip here. Yes! Arsenal have their breakthrough. Mikel Arteta! They deserve it, but it looked like it was never going to come. It could be priceless.
Mikel Arteta saw it, closed it down, took it off him, and that's a brilliant finish. Joe Hart's got no chance.
Mikel played 130 times for the club over a 5-year period before retiring at the end of last season, where he signed off in style against Aston Villa.
Stepped on the ball, did Micah Richards. Here comes Alexis. Maybe he will get a goal after all. In it goes, Arteta!
Oh, it
scores! Well, it hit the bar, and it struck Mark Bunn, and it's gone in, and what a way to sign off. Mikel Arteta, at the very least, it's an assist.
And that is a special, special moment for him and for everybody inside the Emirates Stadium today.
Arteta finished with 16 goals for the club, winning 2 FA Cups, and is now part of Pep Guardiola's coaching setup at Manchester City. We'll have another history lesson next week, but now time for a bumper edition of The Chalkboard with our own Adrian Clarke.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clarke.
So Adrian Clarke joins us at The Chalkboard. Clarkey, good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm all right. Obviously, yeah, disappointing weekend for Arsenal, but we move on, don't we? And I'm just about to flee the country for a week. So, I'm feeling okay.
Fleeing for any particular reason?
Just it's international break and I need a little bit of sun.
So you're not on the run. Yeah. You're not on the run. It's just a holiday.
Yes.
Fine. So, no game to preview this week. So I'm going to ask you a few kind of more broader chalkboard questions. First of all, key one really, how can the team change their fortunes and results?
Oh, goodness me. How long have we got?
About 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, look, it's not an easy situation. Look, the team are in a bad run of form. It is as simple as that. The players haven't become poor overnight, but there's a clear dip. I always think when you enter or when you're in the midst of a rotten run, you just have to go back to basics. I think that is the starting point, really. And that means working very hard on your team shape, on your discipline, on the defensive aspects of the game. And I think once you nail that, or once everybody's refocused on that side, and I'm primarily talking about what you do without the ball, then I think it can give you a platform to go out and get results. The talent is there. We know that, don't we? Especially in the forward areas. But to get back to winning ways, I just feel a little bit of a refocus on what we do defensively is probably in order. And from there, you can build.
And, you know, I had a little glimpse commentating for Arsenal.com last Monday night at Emirates Stadium with that thrilling come-from-behind draw against Manchester City in Premier League 2. They're the form team. Arsenal just behind them in the form table. There is a lot coming through, isn't there, for sure?
Yeah, there are lots of young players at the club that are decent, that are just chomping at the bit to have a go and to be given the opportunity. It's very difficult for the manager to blood them at this stage of the season. I would say that. I think it's the business end. Every point is so critical, isn't it, at the moment, that I always feel the pre-season is the time to really catch Arsene Wenger's eye. Alex Iwobi's done that to some degree, and then he was given the chance last year in the cup competitions, and he took that.
Maitland-Niles now in a similar kind of guise.
Yeah, I think at the moment the youngsters in the reserves in the under-23s, they're playing almost to get on the pre-season tour. And then if you can get on that tour, train with the team, play in the friendly games, then you can stake a claim to be used moving forwards. But yeah, look, I think all the fans, not just at Arsenal, but at every club, they love to see young players being given an opportunity. And look, Arsene Wenger has always been one to do that. And I'm sure, you know, whether he is to stay at the club, then I think he will give more youngsters a chance. But yeah, for now, I think the first team will stay. You know, the group needs to stay together, and basically they just need to work on, they go back to basics and go from there, because you don't sort of come out of these dips informed by accident. You have to show fighting spirit and also a willingness to learn from your mistakes. Now, I'm sure during the international break that whoever's still here at London Colney will be doing that.
And obviously some massive games to come. Manchester City in two different guises in this fight for top four for Arsenal in the Premier League. And then, of course, in the FA Cup semi-final as well. So dealing with them is going to be a major focus, isn't it, for Wenger?
Well, yes. The two games against Manchester City will define Arsenal's season. So they are hugely important matches. I've got to say that we need to improve defensively to cope with Manchester City, because going forward, they're a force. They really are. And I know they could have scored several goals in the draw against Liverpool at the weekend. I know they went out of the Champions League, but I look at Aguero, he's back on song. I look at the two wingers, Sane and Sterling, both in really decent form. And you've got Kevin De Bruyne as well, that can go into the wide area. He's got David Silva playing ever so well at the moment. So if you look at City's front five, they will cause Arsenal problems. So it is incredibly important that we don't play too gung-ho in the league game and in the cup semi-final, because those guys will hurt us. So we've got to box clever in those fixtures. At the other end of the pitch, I'd feel more confident.
If you were going to maybe, in your view, do a bit of squad tinkering and tweaking, young players aside, we've touched on that already for the kind of medium-term future, but short-term, given the injuries we talked about in the show already, potentially to one or two key stars, what might you do?
Between now and the end of the season?
Yeah.
There's competition for places. Like, what I will say is that based on current form, I don't think anybody's place should be guaranteed. I think that the Mustafi-Koscielny partnership, I think, hasn't been as secure in recent weeks. If I was in Per Mertesacker's shoes, Rob Holding potentially, I'd be thinking, well, maybe this is an opportunity for me to get a game. I think that in central midfield, there's definitely places up for grabs. It's all about the guys that are on the bench at the moment showing the manager that they're ready for a chance as well, isn't it? And we don't know whether they're doing that. And then forward areas, look, Alexis, I think, has to play. But Giroud, Walcott, Welbeck, Lucas Perez, I don't think any of them have pulled up trees of late. So it's down to the manager. To be perfectly honest, if you're asking me for an honest appraisal, I wouldn't mind if the manager just shook it up a little bit for that Manchester City game. Maybe took one or two players out, brought a couple in that haven't been playing as regularly, just purely because it will keep everybody on their toes. But of course, you don't want to weaken it too much. So, the manager's got some thinking to do, I think, over the international period, because nobody, in my view, at the moment, is playing well enough to have their place guaranteed.
So, Clarkey, in a sentence, please give us some cause of optimism for the remainder of this season.
Well, look, we've got to be optimistic because the players are talented. They really are. They showed that. All you've got to do, if you want to feel optimistic about the season, about the rest of the season, think about the way that we dispatched Chelsea earlier on in the campaign. They have it there. It is all about recapturing that and bottling it up. And let's just hope that the team can collectively do that between now and the end of the season.
Clarkey, thank you very much. And of course, as we historically do at this point of the chalkboard, we bring in the Arsenal Weekly Podcast editor, Liam Roberts, who is about to go off on his holidays as well. I'm the only one of the three of us who's not about to go away. I'm a bit jealous.
Yeah, someone's got to hold down the fort while we're away, haven't you, Russ?
Now, weekly prediction competition, big developments, I think.
So last week I asked you like the percentage of shots on target that Arsenal would have against West Brom. Russ, do you remember what you said?
I think I said 45%. I was going to go 40, and then I upped it at the last minute, which may have been an error.
Yep, and AD, you went...
I think I went 40. Is that right?
Yep, you did indeed. Yep. Unfortunately, it was a very bad day at the office, as we know, for Arsenal. Only two shots on target out of a possible 11. Oh. That was 18%. So it was, way, way out. But every cloud for Adrian, you get the point.
So Clarkey was less wrong, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, it was
no glory in this one, is there?
I don't know. There's always glory when you pull it back by one. So it's, 20 points to 19 now to Russ.
A scrappy goal, if ever, ever I heard one.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's an Adrian Clarke special. Hits him on the backside, goes in. He takes anyone.
Exactly. Yeah, look, I needed it. You just got to grind out these points at this stage of the season.
Yeah, so it's close now going into international breaks. So no prediction competition this week. But next week, I've probably come up with the most complex one we've done this season. So I'll tell you both off air what it's going to be, because it's going to take a little bit of maths to give me an answer for next week.
Ooh, okay. Forethought.
Nice.
We like it. I shall be beavering away all week to try and re-extend that lead. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. And through gritted teeth, he says, both have lovely holidays in Dubai and Centre Parks, respectively.
Lovely stuff.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Aaron Ramsey, to Henry Winter, and of course to Adrian Clarke for their contributions today. Don't forget you can subscribe on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review in the process. You can catch us on Acast these days as well, so you'll never have the excuse to miss another episode. We're back on Monday, the 27th of March, and until then, it's bye for now, and come on, you Gunners!
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.